from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next up on Forum, we hear book selections from you, our listeners, as we invite you to let us know a book you feel ought to be widely read, either for the holiday season or beyond into 2014. Let us know your recommendations, and we will have them as part of our annual Forum Listener Selected List. Join us and join in after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. And once again, in this hour, we turn to you, our listeners, for recommendations of books you have read that you feel strongly enough about to want to recommend to our wide listening and reading audience. Let us know a book of whatever genre, either fiction or nonfiction, that you feel is a must-read or simply well worth reading, and we'll have an all-listener list compiled for you and available to all our listeners. But first, let us know what book you want on that list, books that get your strongest recommendation and why, and you can let us know by calling us. Our toll-free number is available right now. It's 866-733-6786. And again, we'd like to hear your recommendations about books that you feel are must-reads. Toll-free. Join us 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org or post your favorite read onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, and we'll go right to you, our listeners. First, we want to check in with Kristen Evans, who is the owner of Booksmith in San Francisco. They're over in the Haight, and she's also a buyer for Kepler's in Menlo Park. And Kristen Evans, welcome to Forum. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Glad to have you. I guess the first question that sort of prompts me to ask you is the difference between books that are popular over there in the Haight and books that are more popular or less popular in Menlo Park.
Yeah, you know, there's some commonalities. Both stores are selling Goldfinch by Donna Tartt and The Circle by Dave Eggers very well. Of course, there's nuanced differences. In the Haight-Ashbury, we're selling some of the alternative fiction titles like, Jonathan Lethem's Distant Gardens that takes on the Occupy Wall Street. In Menlo Park, we are definitely seeing, you know, lots of love for Jhumpa Lahiri's The Lowland.
So people are still buying fiction, I'm heartened to hear.
You know, people are buying both. I find that more and more, even ladies' book groups that may be the typical fiction core, are also picking up a lot of really interesting nonfiction. So we enjoy having conversations with our customers about what they're reading and what they're enjoying and trying to make recommendations.
Have you had a run on any particular nonfiction?
Let's see, the couple of technology books that we have been seeing a lot of interest in, Hatching Twitter because of the Twitter IPO. Lean In, of course, has been selling well all year, which is the COO of Facebook.
Sheryl Sandberg. Yeah.
Sheryl Sandberg's book about women in the workplace. There's a lot of interest in The Wolf of Wall Street right now. There's a movie coming out, and about the 80s boiler room mania. And then, you know, a favorite of mine all year has been to recommend is Jaron Lanier's book, Who Owns the Future, where he's really asking some difficult questions about our relationship to technology and where our industries are moving as a result of all the efficiency.
And you booksellers are not hesitant or inhibited about making your own recommendations, I take it.
That's right.
Any others you'd like to put on here before we hear from our listeners?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of interesting gift books that I'd love to mention. There's a gorgeous Bay Area book called Saltscapes that is just releasing from Heyday that are beautiful aerial photography of our Bay Area salt marshes.
That's Malcolm Margolin's publishing house. I think they do wonderful stuff.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous book. There's also a couple of books about the Bay Area, including one about California's apricots, The Lost Orchards of Silicon Valley, and another tree book, Trees of Paradise, which talks about the imported trees of California, redwoods, eucalyptus, orange, and palm trees.
Well, thank you, Kristen. It's good to hear from you. And again, Kristen Evans is the owner of Booksmith in San Francisco and is a buyer for Kepler's in Menlo Park. And I appreciate your being with us on Forum this morning.
Of course. I'll listen in.
Please do. And not only those of you who are listening in can continue listening in, but you can call in and let us know what book you would like to recommend. As I said, we'll have a list, which is what we do a couple times a year, and the list will be available on our website for you to think about perhaps book purchases or what you might want to read and why. And let's hear from you. Our toll-free number, again, is 866-733-6786. You can also email us at forum@kqed.org or go right to our website, which is kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Hunter, we'll start out with you. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm really thankful for this wonderful show that is heard nationally. It's such a great radio show. I wanted to recommend a local author. He's actually from Fairfax, California, Rick McKinney, and his book is called Dead Men Hike No Trails, and it's an autobiography. It's about his personal transformation of doing the Appalachian Trail and the metaphor that the trail ends up being in the personal transformation, empowerment, and also dealing with his own depression on the trail and then off the trail, and his great successes in his personal life and helping others. It's a really wonderful read, and trails, rivers, they serve as great natural metaphors in the wild to help us deal with our urban depression.
Well, I give him high marks just for that title, which, as probably many listeners know, comes from Raymond Chandler, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Dead Men Hike No Trails. I like it.
Hike No Trails. Press. It's called Jiggle Box, is the press. And ironically, available on Amazon, I'm sure. funny for the last part of your...
Well, we've got it on the list now, Hunter, and thank you for that contribution. Again, hearing from listeners as to what you feel is a must-read or people should be reading, ought to be reading, you want them to read, you want to share the wealth, so to speak. Let me go to Santa Rosa and bring on Jackie as our next caller. Jackie, hi.
Hi, Michael. Hi. I would like to recommend Animal Farm by George Orwell, which it was written in the 40s, but my son's humanities high school class is reading this, and so I reread it, and it seems to apply to today. So I think it's an interesting read today.
Interesting that you would say that, because it is, you know, a classic dystopian novel, but it's also a novel about, well, the Cold War and, you know, a different geopolitical lineup that those animals represent. And yet you found it very relevant to today, huh?
Relevant to today, and just as far as people paying attention to what's going on, it's easy to just go along with the program, but it was a reminder to me that, you know, we do need to pay attention and speak out, which George Orwell always wrote about.
Orwell's always worth reading, and thank you for that, Jackie. Appreciate it. We're going to get another caller on, and that's Evan from Palo Alto. Hi, Evan.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Great. My suggestion is The Social Animal by David Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was a bestseller a couple of years ago and on many lists. I think it's a great account of a story of how two people move through life, the successes they achieve, why they achieve them, the trials and tribulations that they go through. And it's great for anyone that is interested in anthropology, social psychology, behavioral economics, and kind of the things that make us tick as people. I just picked it up a couple weeks ago, and I actually think it would be a good book to read right around now as we head into a new year to kind of get people thinking about just how the brain works, why we work as a society the way that we do. And it's also just very enjoyable, I think very relatable.
Yeah, as is true for so many books that probably will be mentioned in the course of this hour, that was one we featured on Forum. We had David Brooks on talking about it, and it's in our archives. That's a book that he said he did a lot of synthesizing, taking from, you know, all sorts of psychologists, sociologists, anthropologists, and so forth, and indeed a book well worth reading. Evan, thank you for that. We're going to get some more of your recommendations, and again, these will all be available to our listeners. Jennifer is next. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. My recommendation is a book called Transform Tomorrow by Stieg Nybo. And I'm recommending it because I think it works on two levels. First, it talks about the crisis we're having saving for retirement in this country. And so it paints the macroeconomic picture, which is pretty serious and deserves attention. And second, I think it works on a individual level. And without being too pedantic, really talks about what you can do on an individual level to prepare for retirement years.
And again, it's called Transform Tomorrow.
That's right.
By Stieg Nybo. Thank you for that, Jennifer. And we'll add that to our list. You can add your own contribution here in terms of what you think people should be reading or what you think is really worth recommending. Again, by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum. Here are some recommendations off the website. A listener writes, Lawrence in Arabia by Scott Anderson, which details how the Middle East was carved up during and after World War I. A must-read for anyone who wants to understand why the borders of the modern Middle East are such a mess. And recommendations coming in on Facebook. And by the way, you can make your recommendations on our Facebook page as well. Lee writes, I highly recommend The President's Club by Nancy Gibbs and Michael Deffy. It's about the relations between current, past, and future U.S. presidents, highly readable and fascinating. Irina writes, Give and Take by Adam Grant, will change the way you accept and provide help to others. Definitely made me a better person and improved my attitude toward people I work with every day. And on Facebook, Sharon recommends Fairyland by Alicia Abbott, which was also featured on Forum. Dave Iverson did that interview. And Steve recommends The Story of the Human Body by Daniel Lieberman and Flight Behavior by Barbara Kingsolver, also in our archives, I believe. Another email, Juliet says, What a Mother Knows by Leslie Lair is an amazing mystery thriller about a woman trying to get her daughter in memory back in Los Angeles. Linda emails us for the dedicated Francophile, Paris, France is utterly charming and especially wonderful, especially read aloud. Also, another of her books published this year, The World is Round, illustrated by Clement Hurd, who did Goodnight Moon, a new foreword by Thatcher Hurd, who did Art Dog, beautiful reprinting of the original. Let's go to more of your calls. From San Jose, we welcome Allie. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Glad to have you.
I really wanted to recommend a nonfiction book. It was written by Kathleen Miller. It's called Champions of Choice. And she actually it's a biography about a women's rights activist formerly with the UN. Her name is Dr. Nafees Sadiq. She's a Pakistani woman. And the biography is just beautiful. It's about the kind of work she's done helping women from Africa, from India, and all other places and kind of, you know, get on their feet and, you know, fight, you know, all sorts of, you know, atrocities that women face in those parts of the world.
An inspiring story, it sounds, huh?
Yeah, and it's actually not a very dry kind of nonfiction because it includes vignettes about these women who are facing these kinds of horrible acts. So I highly recommend that.
And again, it's called Champions of Choice by Kathleen Miller.
Kathleen Miller, and she's actually a Bay Area resident. She teaches at San Jose State University.
Did your daughter want to make a recommendation? I hear her, I think.
Yeah, she's just piping in for the same book.
Oh, okay. Well, mother and daughter recommend Champions of Choice. Thank you, Allie. And I'll get some more of your calls on. And we go to Palo Alto. Radu, good morning.
Yes, good morning. A book that I'm reading right now, very, very interesting, is The Black Swan by Nassir Taleb.
Yes.
Very interesting points of view on the dynamic of life and the society.
Yes.
So excellent, excellent book.
And thank you for that. Another book that was featured on Forum. I mentioned this, by the way, because a lot of you are interested in what you can find in the archives. And if you read the book, you may want to indeed hear the interview with the author as well. And let me get another caller on, and that's Gil, who is joining us from Richmond. Gil, hi.
Hello, Michael and Sarah. I wish to announce a new book called The Saga of the Seven Sisters. It's about a 19th century pioneer family who lived in a mountain region. And it's really a unique and rare opportunity to see how they lived in those days in the little area called Annapolis. It's 113 miles north of here. And one of the
This isn't about the sister schools, then. It's about seven sisters, literal sisters.
It is about the seven sisters. Oh, and my grandfather went to school in the Horicon School. He was one of 10 children who were born and raised in Annapolis, and it's about how they survived in the days before any modern conveniences, no electricity. And his father was only 9 1/2 years old when he came across the plains in 1850 with his father. And it's about several pioneer families in California, all of them coming from Iowa. The Coombs came from Iowa, and they're related to the Carpenters, and they married into the Patchetts. And so the seven sisters were the Carpenters. They married into the Patchetts. The 9-year-old John Patchett, who came in 1850, he ended up with 14 children. It's kind of
an epic. Sounds like an epic.
It is. I call it an epic, and it's a good coffee table too, Michael, because it's got a lot of pictures of all the 19th century people and plus modern colored.
Is this a book that you authored, Gil?
I'm afraid I did, Michael. I'm entering into that a new world for me, and I thank you for the opportunity to announce it. It's just been out a week now.
Good luck with it, and I'm glad you got a plug-in for it. It's called The Saga of the Seven Sisters. Let me get some more plugs for books that people like, not necessarily self-authored. Carrie, hi, you're on.
Hi, Michael. I'd like to recommend The People's Advocate by Daniel Sheehan.
Ah, Danny Sheehan. Mm-hmm. Boy, I haven't heard that name in years. Yeah,
yeah. He's here on the West Coast now at Santa Cruz, and I think you should have him on. I just heard 2 lectures by him, and it's fascinating.
You used to have him on many, many years ago. I didn't realize he was still out there plugging.
Right. He just wrote the first book in a series of memoirs that he plans to write, and it's called The People's Advocate, The Life and Legal History of America's Most Fearless Public Interest Lawyer. And for those who don't know, he founded the Harvard Civil Rights Law Review, and he was involved in the Pentagon Papers, Iran-Contra, the Karen Silkwood case, and so much more of our incredible legal history.
Yeah, he's an important figure, and thank you for that recommendation, The People's Advocate. I appreciate hearing from you. Title sounds a little self-serving, doesn't it? But let me get some more callers on. And Abra is next. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling from Santa Rosa. I'm Jewish. Tonight is the 6th night of Hanukkah, I believe. And I have a great Hanukkah book that I just came across for children. It's called Hanukkah at Valley Forge. I believe it's by Stephen Kransky. And it tells the story about how George Washington came across a Polish immigrant soldier at Valley Forge, and how he taught General Washington about Hanukkah and what it means. And it's just been a delight to add to our Hanukkah library.
All right. Thank you, and happy Hanukkah to you. And here are some tweets. G tweets, favorite book of the year, God's Hotel, inspiring story, timely subject matter, excellent prose. Another listener tweets, reread the classics. We were inexperienced, ignorant, and disinterested in youth. They come alive now. And some recommendations from Facebook. Ken says, Turing by Jake Copeland, about Alan Turing, Jack Copeland, excuse me, about Alan Turing, the World War II codebreaker who invented the first digital electronic computer. Turing was prosecuted for being a homosexual and was only recently pardoned posthumously with an apology. That is an amazing story, the Alan Turing story. Sabine writes on Facebook, The Diviners by Libba Bray, a great young adult book, a mystery set in the 1920s. And Michael, again on our Facebook page, says The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown. It follows the incredible journey of Joe Rantz from Depression-era survivor to the University of Washington crew member in the 1936 Olympics during Nazi Germany and impossible to put down. Chris writes to us by email, not new, but I recently reread Steinbeck's works, particularly The Grapes of Wrath. These works from the 30s have enormous significance in the current economic climate, and they're enormously entertaining as well. More of your emails. Nisha says, Hyperbole and a Half by Ali Brosh. It's hilarious, enlightening, emotional, and a terrific gift. A few more emails here. Delian writes, One of the best novels I've read in the last several years was released this past year, The Universe Versus Alex Woods by Gavin Exence. It's the story of a misfit British teenager who is stuck struck by a meteor and follows his life and friendship with a grizzled expatriate American Vietnam veteran in present-day England. There is a Vonnegut-like feel to the story, and it's a lot of fun to read. And Brian says, my favorite book of 2013, Transatlantic by Colin McCann, includes bits of Irish-American historical fiction, a scene through the eyes of four generations of mothers and daughters extending from the mid-1800s to the present day. Jennifer, on our web, and you can go on our website and give us your recommendation. It's kqed.org/forum and click on this segment. She writes, The 10th of December by George Saunders, which was featured on Forum. His balance of the light and dark, the apocalyptic and the lovely is extraordinary, and I don't even like short stories as a rule. Bev writes, Bev Jacomet's photography in the Sea Glass Rush is a visual celebration of the world's most spectacular ocean-tumbled sea glass. A beautiful coffee table book, 120 color pages, features rare art sea glass from Davenport, Glass Beach, Fort Bragg, and other beaches along the Northern California coast. This may be the author's book. I mean, Bev is the author and Bev is the emailer. Here's another email from Doug who says, This is How You Lose Her by Juno Diaz. That's an excellent book. This book won rave reviews and for good reason, one of the most heartbreaking and beautiful pieces of fiction I've read in years. It also won a Pulitzer, I believe. And another listener, Doug, says, I'm currently reading A Tale of Two Cities, which has Dickens' social commentary, a history of the French Revolution, and a great adventure and love story all in one. Even if you've seen the movie or the TV versions, nothing beats a read. I'm reading an annotated version, which I would also recommend. And let's get some more recommendations by phone. David, good morning. Welcome.
Hi. So I actually am calling with more of a question for a recommendation rather than recommending a book myself. My wife is from Costa Rica, and I got to meet her father and her family 2 years ago when we went, and I gave him Old Man in the Sea, and he loved it, and now he wants another book, and we're going back this Christmas. So I was hoping to get another recommendation along the lines of that book, and maybe something in Spanish, obviously, because he's from Costa Rica.
Well, that book is well worth recommending. I recommended it to my nephew, who read it recently, in fact. You know, it's a classic Hemingway. You could recommend other Hemingway, you know, the Nick Adams stories, In Our Time, or any of the novels of Farewell to Arms, or The Sun Also Rises, For Whom the Bell Tolls, and, you know, stories of struggle like that, like The Old Man in the Sea, or great fishing stories. There are many that come out of the Spanish tradition. And I would read, for example, Carlos Fuentes. I would also recommend Garcia Marquez, just off the top of the head. Let me get another listener on. Matthew, that's you. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to recommend We Should Never Meet by Amy Phan. I feel like it's just a beautiful book, and as a young second-generation Vietnamese-American, like, I'm still haunted by the wars, the Vietnam War, which I was not present for, but is really present in the formation of my identity and other folks who are products of the war. And this book really brings back the little political ways that, like, people are still affected by war and, like, racial formation. And it's just, like, it doesn't talk about, like, those big things that you can't understand or, like, Cold War, but really talk in a personal level.
Well, thank you for that, Matthew. We Should Never Meet. We've got it on a list, and we will continue to add to this list. You can add your own recommendations. We welcome them. Toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also give us your recommendation by email, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @kqedforum, or go to our Facebook page. Lots of ways to participate, and lots more recommendations coming up on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We have opened our phone lines. We're getting listeners' picks for good and memorable reads, must-reads, either over the holidays or into 2014. And you can add yours to the list by calling us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and simply click on this segment. And you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum, or go to our Facebook page, and we're going to get some more of your recommendations. In fact, by the end of the day, we'll have this list available to you, and it will be available on our website. again, which is kqed.org/forum. Cheryl Cutler is a buyer for Copperfield's Books. They have 7 stores in Sonoma, Napa, and Marin. She works at the headquarters in Sebastopol. And Cheryl, good to have you with us on Forum. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you, Michael.
Glad to have you, and also to get sort of some lists, picks that you have compiled. I know you've got a list of fiction and nonfiction for the holidays, and maybe you can give us a couple of samples of what you're recommending.
Well, let's see. I really love Dave Eggers' The Circle. I think it's riveting and really a book for our times, talking about the internet world. And then from a totally different end, I would go with something like The Cartographer of No Man's Land, which is really a very beautiful story set in Canada, beginning of World War One, and both the shipping industry in Nova Scotia as well as the people overseas and how they long for each other. That's a beautifully written book.
So these are both novels?
Both novels, yes.
What about in the historical genre or nonfiction?
Yeah. There's wonderful nonfiction. There's a wonderful book called On Paper, the history, the everything of its 2,000-year history that is just fabulous. One of those books that I call the book, a book for the autodidact in all of us. And along those lines, also History of the World in 12 Maps. It starts with some of the very earliest maps and ends up with Google Earth. And as a book that when you're reading it, you'll start shouting out to your nearest and dearest, hey, do you know about this? It's really well done.
I notice on your list here, which Dan just handed to me, you've got the new book by Malcolm Gladwell, which we featured on Forum, David and Goliath, Underdogs, Misfits, and the Art of Battling Giants.
Yes, yes. I actually had the chance to hear Malcolm speak a little about this book months ago, and he's so good. He just really wants to make you think and really takes the position that there's a lot of strength in weakness. There's a lot of strength in the little guy, the little person. And so he tells a wonderful story, in fact, about David and Goliath that I probably would take up too much airtime if I went on and on about it. But
well, you could just go to our archives and hear him talk about it. And
yes.
Another fiction pick for you is Alice McDermott's new novel, Someone.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Set in 1940s Brooklyn and an Irish enclave with a young woman who grows up who is both very close to her family and her immediate neighbors, but also determined to strike out on her own. And also she cares for her very brilliant, wonderful, and troubled brother in such a way that you move in with this family.
Well, thank you for those picks, Cheryl, and good luck to you in the holiday season. I know things will be busy, and we just did an hour on Amazon, but people are still going to places like Copperfield's.
Thank you so much. I agree. It's really great to see people coming in.
Good to hear you. Thank you.
Speaking
about Irish enclaves, by the way, I'm reading Patty Doyle's new novel, which is a kick. It's called Guts. It won't be out until February, but I'm actually looking forward to having him on the air with us. Let's have more of you on the air with us, and we bring on another caller. Yule, good morning.
Hi there, Michael.
Hi.
Season of the Witch by David Talbot.
Ah, yes. Also featured on Forum. Great history of San Francisco during that whole era of the Haight-Ashbury.
Well, I think it's of all of San Francisco. And if I could just give a quick, very quick, few-word review. I think what transpired from the 60s and through the 70s that he really reports on here citywide really helped me understand, and I've lived in this city since that era, really helped me understand why we have the politics we have. And I thought it was really clarifying a lot of things. I thought I knew a lot about the city, and I realized I have more to learn. So can I throw another log on the fire?
Sure.
Joseph Stiglitz, Price of Inequality. And I'm not a liberal, but I love this book. It's a solid piece of intellectual work that I think everybody should read.
I agree with you. Again, that was also featured on Forum and is in our archives. I like both those books, and thank you for recommending them, Yule. Bob writes, Living a Good Life Sanely and Simply in a Troubled World by Helen and Scott Nearing. No matter your politics, it's a good read on how to step back from stress and enjoy life. And Tony says, I highly recommend Ernie J. Zielinski's book, The Joy of Not Working. Escape the corporate grind and create a life that is truly worth living based on your own values and not those imposed by society. Zielinski is an expert on getting the most out of living while helping to make the world a better place. I love his iconoclasm and stubborn refusal to live an ordinary life. Dave says, Hi, I highly recommend Americana by the Nigerian author Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, said as a love story, but it's truly a great commentary on race, class, and immigration. The prose is highly authentic, witty, and is a quick read. By the way, as long as we're recommending Nigerian writers, you can't go wrong with Wole Soyinka. Norm writes, In Meat We Trust, An Unexpected History of Carnivore America by Maureen Ogle. She's a historian and brings her storytelling that she used in Ambitious Brew to the American food story, how we got to where we are today. Fascinated me and provided a richness that our current food discussions lack. By the way, another Nigerian writer, China Achebe. If you've not read China Achebe, do. Let me take some more calls here, and we'll go to Oakland and welcome Shabazz. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. How you doing?
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to recommend a very, very good book. It's called New Leadership into the 21st Century. And it's a chronicle of the different philosophies and leadership among some of our most influential African-American leaders, beginning at the turn of the century with Booker T. Washington and W.B. Du Bois, and comes on up through history and talks about all of the events that were in the since the founding of the country, how African-Americans were involved, and then it talked about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Dr. Martin Luther King, and last but not least, it talks about after so much protest and demonstration, why is it that we as African-American people are so far behind, you know, and what causes that, and it gives some answers and solutions to that. So I think it's a real good read.
Sounds like a pretty ambitious book. What's the title?
New Leadership into the 21st Century.
Okay.
And by Yahya Shabazz.
By the caller again. Thank you for that, Shabazz. And by the way, I made a mistake here. Juno Diaz won the Pulitzer for Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde, not This Is How You Lose Her. Just wanted that on the record here as well. Let me get more of your calls on, and we go to San Rafael and welcome Peter. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Go ahead. I'm fine. Thank you.
Yes. I'd love to recommend Spiritual Rules of the Road by Bill Engelhardt, and it's really one of the best books I've ever read. What he does is Bill's love of cars and his love of metaphysics, he winds them together, you know, to sort of inspire people to, live their life, their spiritual path, by using examples of cars. Like he talks about what you need to have in your toolbox, when you hit speed bumps and things like that. So it's not only a fun book for anybody to read, but it's a really practical book to
and
have a
again, Peter,
more meaningful life.
The author is Tom Engelhardt.
No, Bill Engelhardt.
Bill Engelhardt, I'm sorry. Okay, I think we've got it. Spiritual Rules of the Road. Thank you for that.
Yes.
And let me go to some more recommendations from emails and web postings. Michael says, Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch is exceptional. Kevin recommends Authentic Happiness, Using the New Positive Psychology to Realize Your Potential for Lasting Fulfillment by Martin Seligman. Changed my life. Jay writes, The Glass Castle by Jeanette Walls, a fantastic memoir that is hilarious and heartbreaking, follows her almost unbelievable childhood and makes one think of it, their own family as a little less crazy. Peter tweets, incredible new book, Wrathful Skies by Robert Lassen, World War II plus vampires equals a phenomenal book, really. Marie writes, Hell Going by Lynn Cody. She just won the Giller, Canada's highest literary prize, for her collection of short stories. I'm giving it to everyone for Christmas. It's the year of the short story with Alice Munro winning the Nobel. Canadians are on a roll. You're right about that. Mark says, I would recommend No God But God by Reza Aslan for anyone who would like to understand Islam. It is fairly approachable but comprehensive. And Eartha writes, again, Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch relates an unlikely sequence of events in a believable manner that feels like a fever dream. A wise heart is at the center of this picturesque and compulsively readable novel. Miss Tartt, writing talents are dizzyingly thrilling. Karen says, I really enjoyed Oz Reimagined, a diverse collection of short story alternate takes on Frank Baum's Oz. And Boris writes, I've been enthralled by all three books of 1Q84 by Haruki Murakami. Murakami, excuse me. It was a bestseller a few years ago, and I'm happy to have caught up to the well-deserved hype. That is always recommended in these hours we do. And again, it's Murakami. Kathy says, may I recommend The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared by Jonas Jonasson? It's a light, funny book from a Swedish writer, a bit like the Dragon Tattoo series with its understated, wry tone, but sunny. Ray writes, Lord of the Barnyard, Killing the Fatted Calf and Arming the Aware in the Corn Belt by Tristan Egolf. This is one of the most well-written debut novels I've ever read, a funny, irreverent novel that reminded me of A Confederacy of Dunces. And Bill writes, Hard Road West by Keith Heyer Meldahl. The Emigrant Trails from the Point of View of a Geologist Driving Across Nevada Will Never Be Boring Again. Let me go to more of your calls, and we go next to Moraga. Bill, welcome.
Hi, thank you for the call. I wanted to recommend Diane Ackerman's History of the Five Senses.
Yes.
It's a fabulous, well-written book. But, she's now my favorite author, and her description of the culture. And
that book has been around. We did an interview with her on that book. I guess it's about maybe 3 years old at least or so, isn't it?
Yeah. I did hear that. That's where I found the book. Thank you for that.
Well worth reading, and thank you for the recommendation, Bill. Good to hear from you this morning. And next we hear from Dawn. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to recommend Shipbreaker by Paolo Baguchi. It's a Hugo Award-winning novel, and it's a post-apocalyptic dystopian future of our current superstorm problem.
This is science fiction?
Yes.
And the author again is?
Paolo Baguchi.
And can you spell that for us?
P-A-O-L-O-B-A-C. I'm going to lose the rest of it. I'm sorry.
Kaguchi, though. C-A-G-U-C-H-I, maybe. Yeah?
Yes.
Thank you for that, Dawn. Good to hear from you this morning. And here's Tamara, who writes, I would highly recommend The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry by Rachel Joyce. It's the story of an Englishman who makes an impulsive decision to walk 600 miles to visit a dying friend in the hope that he can keep her alive. It's a fabulous novel about marriage, friendship, love, loss, and the choices we make, written with beautiful prose, humor, and insight. And we'll go to more of your calls. We go to Oakland. Rod, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I would recommend Neptune's Inferno by James D. Hornfisher. It's a very superbly written, well-researched, and page-turner, even though it's nonfiction, concerning the new research on the Guadalcanal naval campaign from the Second World War.
Neptune's fiction. Neptune's Inferno. I mean, nonfiction. Right. Okay, Rod, thank you. Rhonda writes, Burying Ben, written by local author Ellen Kirschman. Ellen has written a couple books. This is her first fiction, a mystery with a lot of twists and insight into police work. Another listener writes, I want to recommend The Battle for Social Security by Nancy J. Altman. In this day of fierce philosophical budget battles, this is an excellent nonpartisan history of the Social Security Act. From FDR's vision to Bush's gamble, the opening pages grip one immediately. I thought I knew the history and debate, but this book is illuminating and very readable. And we'll hear from more of you, our listeners. Lori, join us. Hi.
Hi, Michael. Love your show. I've been listening for years.
Thank you.
The book I'd like to recommend is Your Inner Fish by Neil Shubin.
Well, that's, again, a book that's been around for many years. We had him on, too.
Excellent.
Yeah. What'd you like about it?
Well, I'm a hand therapist, and the thing that attracted me was that this discussed the first fish to develop a hand and a wrist where it could push itself up. And Neil himself is a paleontologist, I believe, and an embryologist. And the book goes on to discuss just all these amazing things that started out with the first creature that we still possess in our bodies.
I find the book fascinating. I mean, if you're interested in evolutionary theory of any kind, you'll be turning the pages and wanting to read more. It's a good recommendation, Lori, and I thank you for it. We'll get some more of your recommendations. We'll go to Oakland next. Maura, good morning.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I'm recommending a book. It's called Virgin Soul. And it is written by a woman named Judy Winita, and it is just it's a great read. And it's about a young woman who joins the Black Panthers in the 60s, and about the years that she spent in that and what she did. So it's you get a lot of history of Oakland and the Black Panthers and San Francisco and SF State and Berkeley. It's great.
Do you remember the author's name?
The author's name is Judy Winita.
Judy Winita, okay.
Right.
And it's called Virgin Soul.
Virgin Soul, yeah.
Maura, good of you to call that in. Thank you for that. And we'll go to more of your calls. We'll go to Stan next. Stan, good morning.
Hey, how are you today? This is my favorite show of the year.
Glad.
I like to call up, as you recall, and recommend a dictionary every year. and make the point that every word is a concept. And the bigger your vocabulary, there's, you know, it's related to success, levels, blah, blah, blah. But this year I wanted to tell you about a special dictionary called Wishful Thinking. It used to be a theological ABC. Now it's a Seeker's ABC by Frederick Buchner. It's a great read. My favorite entry is Lust, the Craving of Salt by Someone Dying of Thirst.
Oh, that's good. Wishful thinking, huh? Oh, thank you for that. And speaking of ABCs, here's Eliona who says, my four-year-old says A is for activist. Love, love, love this book. A is for activist. Shannon writes, Counting by Sevens by Holly Goldberg Sloan. Okay, and Dan recommends Ageless Erotica, a new anthology of short stories edited by Bay Area writer and senior sexuality expert Joan Price. These erotic stories are all by authors over 50 years old and feature characters over 50 years old. They prove that great sex is possible and healthy at any age, even when it means making changes because of arthritic knees and so forth. Very hot, and it's great to support a local author. Excuse me. Lindsay writes, Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller, a wonderful love story. And Michelle writes, What Do Women Want? Adventures in the Science of Female Desire by Daniel Bergner. Oh, that got a lot of press. Solid science written in controversial, conversational English, and it never shies away from nor sensationalizes its topic. It's entertaining and very enlightening. I wish I'd been able to time travel and get my mitts on it 20 years ago. And I guess another Michelle is tweeting, Meg Wolitzer's The Interestings. It's fantastic. Patricia writes, Andrew Solomon, Far From the Tree, ought to be read by everyone working with young people. I quite agree. I thought it was an extraordinary book, and we featured it on Forum. And here's Libby, who says, Palestinian and Jewish Recipes for Peace is a beautiful 100-page, highly illustrated cookbook with recipes for both the meal table and for relationship building. It includes rich family stories behind the recipes of Jews, Muslims, and Christians. It's published by a 21-year-old Jewish-Palestinian living room dialogue group preparing for its 261st meeting here in the San Francisco Peninsula. Josh, let's get you on. Good morning.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I'd like to recommend When the Elephants Dance by Tess Uriza Holta. It's a historical fiction book about the last week of World War II in Manila. And it's an account of a group of civilians who hide out in an underground cellar and sort of survive the atrocities of the final week, which was a particularly brutal period during that conflict.
I know that book because Tess was also on Forum, but it's at least about 10 years old, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it came out about 10 years ago.
But well worth reading. It's a good recommendation. Thank you for that. And she's a local writer, too. Let me go to more of your calls. We go next to Christy in San Francisco. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to recommend My Magical Palace by Kunal Mukherjee. It's a coming-of-age story about a young Indian boy growing up in 1970s India in the town of Hyderabad.
Uh-huh. The author is from India or Indian-American?
He was born in India, but he lives in the U.S.
Uh-huh. And again, My Magical Palace. We've got
It was just released this year. I highly recommend everyone go out and read it.
Well, thank you for that recommendation. It's on our list now. I appreciate hearing from you. In fact, I'm going to recommend Jhumpa Lahiri, anything by Jhumpa Lahiri, speaking of Indian writers. Just a wonderful storyteller. John writes, And Now You Can Go by Vendela Vida, set in New York City where a woman is held at gunpoint by a mugger and recounts her life. Very fast read. Excellent. I would agree. And she was also featured with that novel on Forum. Mozique writes, I rarely read fiction these days, but I picked up Tinkers by Paul Harding at the SFO bookshop and was completely absorbed by his unique way with language, his beautiful descriptions of rural Maine, and the inner thoughts of an aged man while on his deathbed. Morose, slow, but beautiful. Steve writes, Endurance, Shackleton's Incredible Voyage by Andrew Lansing. First published 1959, but still an amazing read. If this book was fiction, it wouldn't be believable, but as a true account of Shackleton's disastrous voyage to Antarctica, it is the most riveting story of survival that I have ever read. We'll go to more of your calls, and we go to Berkeley. Peter, morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for this program. I want to mention a book called Countdown. The author's name is Alan Weissman, and I believe it's one of the most important books I've ever read because it's all about the growing number of humans on the planet and the impact of our presence. Weissman wrote an earlier book called The World Without Us, in which he kind of imagined what would happen to the planet if humans weren't around.
That was actually made into a documentary film.
Yeah, right, and that was a hopeful book. This new one is not quite so hopeful because he cites research suggesting that we've kind of passed the tipping point, and just the arithmetic involved in people who become parents and can procreate and then having children, whether it's one, two, or three, or even greater in parts of the world, and the really disastrous consequences of that for everything, you know, not just climate, but resource depletion, economics, and on and on and on. And the scary thing is that, especially for people in the U.S., we don't think about this stuff, and we don't contemplate what the world will be like for our kids if this continues.
Well, it's certainly a good warning book and a good book to read for the kind of necessity of warning of what may be in store for us. Thank you for that recommendation, Peter. I appreciate it. I'm getting some excellent recommendations here from listeners, as we always do, and these will be available to you later on our website. You can add your own recommendation to our website, kqed.org/forum, or our Facebook page. And let's go to more of your calls. And let's go to Mary next. Mary, thanks for waiting.
Oh, thank you. The book I am recommending, the title is Bold Spirit by Linda Lawrence Hunt. It is a story of a mother and daughter who walked from Spokane to New York in hopes of raising money to save the family farm. And it was something that was not considered appropriate for women of her era to do. This is in Victorian America. And so her accomplishments were documented in newspapers along the way, but the family dismissed her efforts. And this is a wonderful story of how her story and the daughter's story was acknowledged. Probably a great nephew or something heard the story, wrote something, and for his senior composition class, and his teacher started researching it, and thus the book is published. It's just a marvelous story.
Well, we thank you for the recommendation, Mary. Good to hear from you this morning, and good to hear from all our listeners. Getting a lot of tweets here. Beth writes, I only read nonfiction and are on 3 nonfiction books per week. We have no TV. I love, love giving books as gifts, and I'm giving classical children's books to around 8 children. A book I give to many people is On My Swedish Island by Julie Catterson Lindahl. It's all about living a more simple and contented life, devoid of all the materialism we Americans seem to crave. It's a book that got me to downsize, become more active physically, eat healthier, and just plain happier with a less is more lifestyle. Another listener says, Operation Red Lotus by Parag Toep. Parag is a Bay Area resident and the fourth generation descendants of Tatya Toep, one of the freedom fighters of the First Indian War of Independence of 1857 against the British, Indian as in from India, not Native American. This book argues, based on new evidence, that the war was also a well-planned operation by some brilliant leaders. The government version taught in schools tells that it was purely a subaltern revolution. And Daniel tweets, The Mars Trilogy by K.S. Robinson, a sci-fi epic that chronicles the colonization of Mars, stunning in breadth and depth. Let me go to some of your emails here. Lots of emails pouring in, and we'll go to as many as we can. Jennifer says, Free Spirit is an exceptional work by Bay Area writer Joshua Safran about his unusual childhood growing up off the grid and on the road. Witty, engaging, and at times heartbreaking, it is a captivating read. Barbara writes, I love the book Golden Boy by Tara Sullivan. This wasn't that also a play by Clifford Odets? All right. The story of an albino teenager in Africa outlines the hazards he faces and the people who offer him help. A well-written, exciting adventure, a look at life through some remarkably sensitive eyes. And Danny says, The Martian by Andy Weir. The story of astronauts stranded on Mars. It's a very believable, serious, nuts-and-bolts science fiction story that is also incredibly funny. It's one of the best books I've read in the last 10 years. And Lisa writes, The Lady's Paradise by M.L. Zola. Boy, there's a classic. It's a book on which the series The Paradise is based, although the cliched dialogue, cardboard characters, and dumbed-down plot of the series pales in comparison to this novel, which presents a poignantly relevant and entertaining dramatization of how department stores obliterated small businesses in late 19th century Paris, a sharp reminder of the glories and depravities of consumerism. By the way, you want to read a great Zola novel, read Les Semois. Ryan writes, Werner Herzog's Walking in Ice is a nonfictional account of Herzog walking through Europe in winter in the belief that it will keep his dying friend alive. Bill recommends The Twin by Gebren Baker. Perfect winter read. I'm not giving you any more hints than that. Okay. And Lou writes, Michael Chabon's Telegraph Avenue. Fun, touching, analytical beyond stereotypes on race, class, wonderful characterizations. We also did that interview with Michael that's in our archives. And Susan writes, Here on the Edge by Steve McQuitty. Long-awaited story of how a World War II conscientious objectors camp on the Oregon coast plowed the ground for the social and cultural revolutions of the 1960s. Important historical ties to the Bay Area and just published by Ohio State University Press in October. Well, that brings us, I guess, pretty much to you, Anand, as we end the hour with you. With satanic verses, are you? You may get a fatwa for recommending that, but
yeah, I know. I was just saying, you know, given it's the holiday season, it gives us a perspective on what religion is all about. If we would only take it a little more lightly than we might otherwise, and you know, perhaps it should be read with alongside with Christopher Hitchens' God Is Not Great, and it just kind of gives you a perspective on you know what religion really is and is not, and. It isn't intended to be controversial. It's just a suggestion for people to keep in mind.
Well, it's a suggestion we will end the hour on. I thank you for it, and thanks to all our listeners for making these suggestions and recommendations this hour. And you can find the complete list of listener picks by the end of the day on our website, kqed.org/forum. And for more book picks and reviews, including ideas for what children's books to give as gifts this year, visit kqed.org/arts. We thank you for being a part of the program. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our producers are Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Larberg. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai. Our engineer is Howard Gelman. And for all of us at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.